Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. We are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And I pray that today is Wednesday and that yesterday you had a beautiful celebration with St. Joseph on his feast day. And I pray that you got to go to Mass and that you really got to celebrate that as a family and with your children, because it's a very special feast day for us all. Well, today we have Father Daniel Brandenburg, and he is a priest with the Legionnaires of Christ. And he has written an exciting new book about overcoming fear and anxiety by looking to the example of St. Joseph. And his beautiful book is called Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. And you could go to his website, thelegionnairesofchrist.org, or RagnumChristi.com. Now, when I say that the book is beautiful, it is beautiful. The content, his words are great, but there are pictures, probably pictures that you have never seen before of St. Joseph, because we too, we were going through it. We were like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this picture of St. Joseph. And it was so beautiful. It was so enriching. It made you, we are devotees of St. Joseph. It made us love him more. We saw him in ways that we never saw him. And that's the beauty of the journey, is that of we're always learning. And it's like, oh, look, it just takes you to a deeper depth of St. Joseph. Yeah. So we encourage this great book for you.
Well, Father's a wonderful writer, many wonderful insights, breaks it down, makes Joseph so accessible in a respectful way to him. It's 14 chapters, which he calls 14 stations. And so he shares a lot about his own life, his relationship with his dad, and then gives all these different insights, many of them kind of imaginative of what Joseph was like, beautiful images, as you said, and more people are thinking about or using this as stations, like the Way of the Cross, stations of St. Joseph to contemplate the Father, earthly father of our Lord, protector of Our Lady. And so it's a wonderful book, and Father will unpack it for us. Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph, available at EWTNRC.com. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we have Father Daniel Brandenburg with us. He is a priest with the Legionaries of Christ, and he has written an exciting new book about overcoming fear and anxiety by looking to the example of St. Joseph. So much needed in our time where so many people are being anxious and people are afraid to do so many things, this book would really help your life. The beautiful book is Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. It's available at EWTNRC.com. You could go to his website, legionariesofchrist.org, or RagnumChristi.org also. Well, Father, we're excited to have you with us, especially in this week. I mean, so much about St. Joseph.
So true.
I just love how the Holy Spirit orchestrated this book for this particular time now, and to have you on At Home with Jim and Joy. So today we have you've not been on EWTN before.
No, this is my first time.
Well, we saw you at Mass on Monday, which was perfect. Yeah. And so welcome to the EWTN family.
Thank you very much.
And we want you to tell our family a little bit about Father Daniel.
Well, I'll give you the abbreviated version because not even my mom knows all the details. But, you know, we're at home here, so I'll make it as natural as possible. But I was called to the priesthood from a young age. I was probably 5 or 6 years old when I felt God's call to the priesthood. I for the first few years of my life, was excited about that. I tell people I'm going to be a priest when I grow up. I was going to be a missionary. And then I hit my teenager years and I discovered girls. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have cooties anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I figured, maybe I'll be a deacon.
Yeah.
And so I ran away from the call to the priesthood for a few years. But then in my high school years, in the later high school years, I was going to the high school age youth conferences in Steubenville. And those helped to set off a spiritual life for myself. I started to pray more on my own, went to adoration. And those quiet moments with the Lord, the thought of the priesthood started coming back and stronger. And so I figured I needed to do something about it. And at that time, I talked with my parish priest, and I told him what was going on in my interior. I said, you know, I feel called to the priesthood, but I don't feel like I'm called to do what you do as a parish priest. And I didn't really know the difference between religious orders, missionaries, diocesan priests at the time. And so he said, well, maybe God's calling you to religious life. I said, well, what's that? And he gave me this vision catalog. This was before the internet, 1993. He gave me the vision catalog and he said, well, check this out. And I thumbed it through this catalog that had all the different religious orders. And I was looking for ones that were, you know, faithful to the Holy Father, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, a love for the Eucharist. And so I sent for information from five or six of these different religious orders and got information back from the Legionaries of Christ. One thing led to another, and I'll tell you the best part of it. I read the letter from the Legionaries. I'd received from many different orders, nothing really called my attention. But when I read that letter from the territorial director at the time, Father Anthony Bannon from the Legionaries of Christ, he described the spirituality of the Legion. Christ-centered, love for the Church, love for the Holy Father, love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. I was like, ooh, that check one. Then he talked about the formation, the challenging formation, 12 to 15 years of study and preparation, had to learn multiple languages, study in Rome. I was like, oh, I love a challenge. Check two. And then the third part was kind of explaining the whole mission of the Legionaries of Christ, which is to help lay people to live out their vocation to holiness, living the fullness of their baptismal call to holiness in their everyday life. I said, wow. That's compelling. That's so needed in the church and in the world today. And I said, check three. And after reading the letter, I took it out and I showed it to my mom. I was in tears, actually. I showed it to my mom and I said, Mom, this I think is where God is calling me. And then I promptly forgot about it because I had a date with my girlfriend. Set that aside. And then a short time later, I went to a Marian conference in Omaha, Nebraska. I grew up in northern Iowa. And as you'll find out in the book, Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. But I went to a Marian conference with my family in Omaha. And this woman walked up to me as I was going into this big conference center. And I had a brother on either side of me. Because I have five brothers and two sisters. And she walked straight up to me, not to one of my brothers. And she said, are you thinking about the priesthood?
Wow.
And I was like, oh no, here we go again. And another, you know, reminder from the Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, I am actually. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. Her name was Terry Moran, a Reagan Christian member who was helping to foster adoration for vocations across the country. And I think that that closeness to our Lord in the Eucharist gave her a spiritual sensitivity to recognize that God was doing something in me. And she happened to be there at that conference setting up a booth for the Legionaries of Christ. So, you know, God's providence. Talked with her. I actually helped her set up the booth. And then she put me in contact with a Legionary priest who visited my family a few weeks later, invited me to go out and visit the seminary. So I did, went the summer of 1993, loved it. Fell at home right away and entered the novitiate.
Oh, how beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you for your yes.
Yes.
I mean, it is so beautiful because, you know, it's like God is kind of like, okay, we're just going to put that on the back burner. I got this other life I think I'm supposed to live. And God knows, as He knows all of our hearts, it's kind of like sooner than later, you know, I planted that seed as a young man. And we're going to call that up and get you signed up sooner.
And your story is a real challenge and call to the laity, because sometimes we get those inklings, you know, about somebody, and it isn't overly demand. Just say, you know, are you thinking about? Because something's. I just thought I should say that. You know, it's not saying well, maybe someone would say, you're called to this, you're going to do this,
sure.
you're
going to
whatever. There's nothing wrong with saying, are you thinking about this?
Because that's exactly right.
We have the same Father here, and,
that's right.
I'm hearing this. What are you, what's your sense?
Well, and Jim, that ties in so beautifully with what we're talking about here with St. Joseph, because he was so attentive to those tiny little voices of the Lord speaking, even in his dreams, and he was obedient to them. I found in my life as a priest that many occasions where I try to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, I try to listen to God for God's voice, and there'll be times where God will say, you know, say this to this person, and I'm thinking inside, that's ludicrous. the person's going to think I'm crazy. But when I'm obedient and I listen to the Holy Spirit, people will sometimes stop and they'll look at me like, how did you know?
Right.
It's like, I didn't know.
Right.
But God knows, and God chooses to work through us as instruments. And that's not just through priests. God will work through anyone who is open to his action in their lives. And that's exactly what St. Joseph does.
But in your book, and you've written the book to overcome fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So what a great way. What inspired you to write this book?
Because
you've authored seven, right?
Is this your seventh book?
This is my seventh book. Okay. Yes, that's right. Well, this particular book was me not being very attentive to the Holy Spirit. So I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory. So when 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma cancer. Almost died. And in that process, I was very weak, going through the chemo, getting ready for a bone marrow transplant, and I couldn't do my normal annual spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, 8-day silent retreat, because I couldn't travel. I couldn't leave. I was living in Atlanta at the time, and still living there, and I couldn't travel. And so I asked my superior for permission to do the 19th annotation, which is the form of the spiritual exercises in your daily life. And there was a lay woman from Cincinnati, a good friend, Janet Lees, who's trained in directing people in that, and she directed me from a distance. So as I was going through, just meditating on the life of Christ, all of a sudden these insights about St. Joseph, he just kept popping up. I couldn't figure it out. It's like, I'm supposed to be meditating on the spiritual exercises and Jesus. But Joseph kept appearing, not the Blessed Virgin Mary so much. Every once in a while, she would come up as insights and prayer, but especially St. Joseph. And so I was jotting it down in my journal, and I bring it up with Janet in our conversations and say, you know, Janet, St. Joseph keeps popping up. And she's very attentive to the Holy Spirit, really wonderful woman. And she said to me, well, Father, maybe God wants you to write a book about St. Joseph. I said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's park that. I was too busy with other things. I was in the middle of my doctoral work and research, and it's like, oh, we'll think about that in the future.
And you had health issues.
And I had health issues. Yeah, I was
dying.
Cancer.
Right.
Oh my gosh! And then I won't go into all that story, but it was a pretty traumatic time. But she was very attentive, and she said, "Well, you know, continue to pray about that." And I said, oh, "Okay, I'll pray about that later." So I set it aside, and then on December 8th. We know what happened that year. The Holy Father called a year of St. Joseph, a special year of St. Joseph. And for me, that was kind of like a swift kick in the pants. Like, Father Daniel, I've given you all these insights, now do something with it. So I said, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. You want me to write about this. So I do what I always do when I'm going to write something and I feel moved by God to write about a particular topic. I took it to prayer. And so for the next several months, I prayed, taking some of those inspirations that I had received in prayer already, and then going to Scripture and reading Scripture and reading other the writings of the Holy Fathers about and Fathers of the Church and some mystics about St. Joseph to try to imbibe all of that wisdom and insight, but primarily Scripture, because that is the primary source for our faith, that Christ is present, that God's Word is alive and active in Scripture. And as I meditated on Scripture, I figured, well, this is going to be a really short book.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, there's not a single word of St. Joseph.
He doesn't say a word, right.
Yeah, so it's like,
he doesn't give you much material.
No, I was thinking, I was thinking, this is going to be really hard. But as I meditated on Scripture, I began to notice a pattern. There's not a single word of St. Joseph, but there's lots of action. Over and over and over again, he does what he's supposed to do. And he's able to do that because of the attentiveness of his listening to God. You know, five times he has a dream and he acts upon it. I don't know about you, but I have dreams frequently, but I almost never remember them in the morning. I'll think to myself as I wake up, like, oh, that was a really weird dream. Let me remember that for tomorrow, and then I can't remember it the next morning. And even less so do I ever act upon a dream. Only once in my life have I acted upon a dream, and it was the Holy Spirit moving me for something. But normally we forget our dreams. But St. Joseph, five times in Scripture, has a dream, receives instructions from the Lord, and acts upon it. That indicates an attentiveness to God in his life, which is truly remarkable. So in my own reflections and prayer on the St. Joseph, I was expecting to find maybe five or six occasions where St. Joseph appears in Scripture. But then as I was going through, it's like he was showing up again and again and again. And there were 12, 13, 14 episodes where St. Joseph was present. And then I made the click. It's like, wait a second. There's 14 episodes here in Scripture. That's like the Stations of the Cross. And so as I was praying about that, I said, okay, I'm going to write a Way of St. Joseph, like the 14 Stations of the Cross, which can be something for personal prayer or for group prayer as an aid during the year of St. Joseph. So that was my first little book, The Way of St. Joseph. And it contained the kernel for the book, Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. That's a little bit of the genesis.
Well, but it's so, there's so, like, he didn't say a word, but his character explodes, his obedience, his docility. I mean, just who he is as a man. But you, as a young boy, and you do this so beautifully in your book, you had a good father. So you had a good earthly father. So it wasn't like psychologically you were traumatized and...
Let's clarify.
We all get our fathers. We understand that they're not perfect.
Well, don't canonize my dad yet. He's still alive.
But you had a beautiful place to work from, of safety, of security, of love, of protection. So that was running in the little boy of Daniel.
Do we have to have your father on for equal time?
Okay, Dad. No, my dad is a wonderful man, and I learned many good things from him. But like every dad, he also had his flaws. And I mentioned that in one of the chapters of the book. Really funny story. I guess I love stories. So when I was little, my dad's a welder, okay? He had a welding shop. He fixed farm equipment for farmers, did some manufacturing. And he had a really lively temper, especially when I was younger. And, you know, working in a welding shop, there are times where you get a hot, molten metal drip on him and burn, or he'd smash his thumb. And there were times when he would lose his temper, and he had a sailor's mouth. Like my dad, he could throw out the words with the best of them, okay? So my dad was not a saint, okay? So don't get that impression. And we as boys, especially the boys in my family, we were picking up his language. And my mom didn't like the sailor's tongue. And so she tried, various gradations of soap therapy.
We understand.
Which were completely ineffective. Did not work at all. And so at one point, my dad realized, and my mom, I think they had a conversation behind the scenes. It's like, honey, if you don't change, the boys are not going to change. And my dad realized he needed to change and clean up his language. So we instituted what we called the Cuss Cup. And it was a red Solo cup that we just put on top of the refrigerator. And every time one of us boys said a swear word, we had to put a quarter in. Every time my dad said a swear word, he had to put in a dollar. And at the end of the week, we would put in whatever money was in the cup into the collection at church. And our pastor could not figure out where the extra thousands of dollars were coming from.
So, you're giving Chris ideas now about how to raise money.
Well, I hope so. Because
it's a journey of holiness.
It really is. And what happened through that, because there was a pecuniary consequence for the language, my dad started to be more conscientious about that. Wait a second, I don't want to keep losing all this money. And us kids as well. I mean, a quarter was a lot of money at that time. You could buy candy, a candy bar with a quarter. And so we cleaned up our language. And this is an example of practical things where our life is not just a cakewalk. And my dad was a good man, but not a perfect man. And I think in many ways, St. Joseph, was also a man. And sometimes we forget that about the saints. Because we sometimes look at the saints as like I don't know, these like pastel, perfect figures who never sinned, didn't have any troubles in their life, didn't experience what was really difficult, like for me down in the trenches. And because of that, we don't, or it's more difficult for us to relate to the saints. And what I try to do in the book is present the reality of St. Joseph as a real man. He was not immaculate conceived. You know, Mary was. And so imagine what that caused in the Holy Family. I mean, whenever there was a problem, there was a mistake, guess whose fault it was? Well, it wasn't the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and it wasn't the one who was immaculately conceived. So Joseph got the short end of the stick.
Sounds like your mother knew that as well. So, but we're gonna hold you over for the final segment, because I know we're just beginning to open the door to the book and why you've written the book. It's Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. Go to EWTNRC.com to get it. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Father Daniel Brandenburg, Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph. Father, as we were sharing in the first segment of the show, you know, why you wrote the book, how God was leading you, you speak a lot about approachability, accessibility to the saints. You kind of, in a way, made Joseph so much more human. He is human, but you know, so it's like we can relate to the saints.
Totally.
We can just simply relate to them. And you speak a lot in your book, of course, about your 14 chapters, 14 stations, dealing a lot with fearfulness, possibly for St. Joseph, how he overcame that. Speak to us more about kind of the flavor of your book and what you're trying to do here. It seems very relational to me.
It's totally relational, and that's the reality and the beauty of the saints. I mean, we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses who help us to get to heaven. And they can help us because they experienced what we experience. We even see that in the book of Hebrews, you know, Jesus himself went through every temptation without sin. And that's why he is our savior, in part because we can relate to him. And we can relate to the saints because they experience the joys, the sorrows, the temptations that all of us suffer. And I focus in with St. Joseph. I did this in one of my prior books on the Blessed Virgin Mary. I focused in on the passion of sorrow that she experienced in the seven sorrows of Mary. And when I was reflecting on these 14 episodes of St. Joseph where he appears in Scripture, I was like, well, what is the passion that St. Joseph would have experienced? And it came to me as my own experience as a man and working with a lot of men, realized a lot of men experience fear, which they're afraid to give voice to. And how do I overcome fear? So I started thinking, well, what fear would Joseph have faced in that particular circumstance that's presented in Scripture? And then I started to realize this connection. Yeah, of course Joseph experienced fears. Now remember, the passions, as St. Thomas Aquinas describes in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the passions are morally neutral. They're neither good nor bad. It's how we respond to them. And so St. Joseph shows us the way to not just stay in the fear, but how to overcome the fear, how to respond in a virtuous way to these fears and anxieties that we all face in our lives. And this makes Joseph so approachable.
And so you're doing that in each station, each chapter.
That's right.
And so what are some of the, we only have like a minute here, but some of the principles, how is he overcoming? Is it unique in each one? What can we draw from it? In a minute.
Well, there's three principles that are behind each one of these fears that Joseph faces. He's rooted in his relationships, rooted relationships, his closeness in responding to God, his obedience to God, hearing God's word and putting it into practice with decisive action. These are the three things that are present in each one. How's that for 1 minute?
That's rather impressive.
Thank God we have you for a whole nother day. Tomorrow
to
open
to
up this
interview.
Book, Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph, and the different aspects of this book. It's really unique in terms of my reading on St. Joseph, so much that could really be applied. So thank you so much. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. Go to EWTNRC.com, get the book, Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph, Father Daniel Brandenburg. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're never alone. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.